My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, October 9th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 603. There's no guest. It's just me sitting here in my apartment on a late Saturday morning giving you some podcast goodness. I just had a nice breakfast. I just rewatched the latest episode of Atlanta, Work Ethic. That's, to me, that's God tier television. They have not missed. I don't think they've ever really missed. There's some shows that I like more than others, but I think it's a fantastic show. And I don't think we'll really understand how great it is until it's over, until you can kind of go back and look at it all. I had the pleasure of going back after season 3. I still think that. And then the show is so great. It's, you have to put the shows in categories, whether it's just, this is a main story with Earn and Al, just the whole gang together. And then there's the anthology episodes. Then you have a flashback to what I think is one of my all-time favorite. It at least has to be top three, is FUBU, the FUBU episode, which was the flashback when Earn and Al were kids. So, I don't know, man. It's fantastic, and I do not think they have missed at all. So this is just, this episode was just next level. It was so good. It was so good. It was kind of like, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was kind of like Donald Glover getting back to the basics as far as what he did in the episode. I'll try to be vague because I know maybe some people haven't watched yet, but kind of back to his silly Derek comedy days. So fucking funny. So good. I heard some podcasts that I listen to. I'm not going to shit on anybody or anything like that, but they're just like, oh, is it funny anymore? Are people talking about it? Because if Twitter's not talking about it, then it's not relevant. So, I don't know. It's some of the best TV we've ever gotten. And it's a generational... what do you say? They're generational greats. All the team behind Donald Glover and his team. It's a fantastic TV show. It's really good. Really good. Works on a lot of levels. Works on just like a level where it's like, oh, this is funny. This is entertaining. And then it gets to even deeper when it comes to race, class, all these different, everything that's going on in the world. It embodies it. It seems like those artists on that show take that in, take everything that's going on in the world, and and put it out as art. Absorb it, consume it, experience it. And they get this beautiful tapestry of what it means to be Black in America. That's what I think. And I think that team, they should be applauded. It's really, really good. It's so good. I watched that show and I don't know what to fucking expect. I don't know what to expect, and I like that. Because a lot of times some things are so predictable. You kind of have an idea of what's going on when you sit down and watch a TV show or a movie or consume content, you know, in this day and age. So it's fun to be pleasantly surprised and kind of knocked on your ass. So it's good to see, man. This week was pretty busy. This week was pretty, I don't know, it's this has just been a busy year. There's a lot going on. Comedy-wise, I have, on the 14th, I'm with the homie J.L. Covan, opening for him at the Strand Capital Theater at the Appel Center for the Performing Arts. October 14th in York, Pennsylvania. That's going to be a fun show. I'm excited about that. Last week I was able to do some shows opening for Rich Voss at Bananas in Poughkeepsie. There was a Bananas in Poughkeepsie. It no longer exists. But the Bananas in Rutherford, New Jersey, which was formerly in Hasbrook Heights. It's 7 minutes down the road from the old location in the Renaissance Hotel. I did three shows with him. I talked about it last week, and those were fun shows. I had a good time. Like I said, doing a two-hander with him. It's fun. It's fun when you just do two-handers. I do have to go up to a cold audience, but it was fine. Like, I'm a professional, so it was cool. It was a good time. They fed us, and that's always good. I had a filet and a salad, and I think they gave me some mashed potatoes too, and it was really good. I enjoyed it there. So that was fun working on some new stuff. I got to do some stand up last night at the Sugar Hill Cafe, hosted by I don't know the gentleman's last name, but Omri and the homie Dylan Stevenson, who was a writer for Wyatt Cenac's show. Oh my God, what was Wyatt's show? Now I'm looking that up. Problem areas. I didn't even have to look it up. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not totally losing my mind. So I did it without having to Google it. I was about to, but then I said, problem areas. So it's a show that they co-host, and I did it last night, closed it out in Harlem, which I haven't been to Harlem. I don't think I've been to Harlem in a minute. I spent so much time in Midtown late last year, around this time last year into this year, and just getting to drive around. And I was running late, so I ended up having to pay $30 for parking. And I just said, fuck it. I want my car to be safe. I don't want to get towed. I don't want any of that shit to happen. So for my safety and my sanity, my car's safety and for my sanity, I just dropped $30 to park and do some time. But it was fun. Worked on some new stuff, and I just said, fuck it, I'm going to do work on some new. And it's the first time in a long time where I felt like getting back in the groove. Like, I've been doing comedy and everything, but I had to go to the office yesterday. I worked all day, and I went to the movies. I'll give you a movie review later on, but I went to the movies, and I sat in traffic from Portchester, from the AMC Portchester, all the way into Harlem, which was about a little over an hour, and talked to a friend, shot the shit with my friend, which was fun. That helped. That always helps. And yeah, got down there in time. I didn't miss the show, but I like to be there. I don't like to be stressing about getting to the show and then parking. And then shout out to the homie Justin Brown, friend of the podcast, also of Medium Popcorn fame. And I was like, oh, did you have to pay for parking? He was like, no, I parked right out front. I was like, God damn it, you lucky bastard. But so it goes. In the words of the great Kurt Vonnegut, so it goes, you know. But I had fun. I had a good set. And I opened with something that happened to me at the movie theater, which I think I'll try to, if they laugh, but I'll try to spruce it up a little bit to see how far I could run with it for a while until I have to throw it away. But that was fun. Yeah, so it was a good night. Then I went to this place called Harlem Shake that I've been hearing about for quite some time. And I was like, oh, I never heard about that place. Like, I don't know if it's one of the best burgers in the city, but it is. They're good burgers. I thought that they were good. It's ever since, I don't know, when I first moved here, God, this had to be, I don't know if it's been, I've been in this area for over 15 years now, but I think Smashburger's been around that time. And it's kind of been a thing where you have these smash burgers, you have these patties, they mash them up really thin and flat, and they give you two patties, and then you get whatever you want on them. That's kind of been a thing. And so that's kind of the style that they have. And Shake Shack has obviously been around in New York City for a long time, and they've been more expansive, you know, growing all over the country now. And it's become a little more ubiquitous. I liked Harlem Shake. I don't think it's better than Shake Shack. Now, I know a lot of people are on the fence with Shake Shack, or they don't like it as much as I do. But when you do Shake Shack right, when it's done right, when it's made by somebody that gives a shit, I think that has a lot to do with it. And I think one of the last times, I've had Shake Shack a few times, but there was this time, like, I haven't had it in about a month or so, I want to say. That's good for a fat boy when you haven't had one of your favorite burgers in a while. You know, just to not be like a fucking asshole, you know, and just eat everything you want all the time. But I remember one time, this had to be, I was at the Borgata in April. And there was they had a Shake Shack. I was heading back home, and I saw, oh, let me stop at, they had a rest stop. I said, I gotta go to the bathroom. Oh, they got a Shake Shack. I said, I should try a shake. That is, I think I told this story on Three Guys Own. That's like having heroin at a rest stop for me. That's burger heroin. And I gotta tell you, that is one of the best Shake Shack experiences I've had. And I think I've been to the one in, is it the Flatiron District? I guess maybe like the flagship one. One of the first ones, I guess, which was actually a shack. And it was good. It was good there. And then they opened up one at the Garden State Plaza here in Jersey. And they opened up one on Route 17. And now they're all over the place. And I do like it when they do it right. But I think that goes with any place. I was talking to an audience member last night after the show. And then we were just talking, like, oh, like, where are you from? And she was like, oh, I'm from Mississippi. And then we started talking about the South. And and somebody was saying, yeah, you know, that when I was there, like, there was like this bunch of shootings out down there. I said, man, it seems like all they got to do down in this certain state is watch football, shoot each other, and go to Sonic. and the one girl was like, yeah, you know, well, that makes me want Sonic. I said, well, we have them up here, but they're just not as good. is not that good. If you go below the Mason Dixon line, I think it's better. But my experience, I don't know if I'll ever go back unless I'm in the South or something. I don't know. I don't even know if I would go to one in Maryland anymore, because I did go to one in Waldorf in that like Charles County area. I was not impressed. It's just the people making it. And I think that has something to do with, it's just the people that are making that fast food. There is a difference, you know, with the people put, I've said this before on the show where I was doing this play one time. I was doing this black play in Chicago, and one of the ladies in the show was just like, she would be eating something, and she said, "This sandwich got Jesus in it." And she would always say that, because that meant it was really good. And if people didn't put Jesus in it, like, it's not good. They didn't put that care, that love in it. You know what I'm saying, young? So I think it just depends on who's making it, who's making your food. But I think Shake Shack is very good. Harlem Shake is good. I like that they do, that their special sauce is different from just the random Thousand Island that we're saying is our special sauce. It's like, okay, this is just basically your take on the Big Mac sauce. Shake Shack's is a little different. You can make it at home. I've made it before. But everybody for the most part just kind of has their own take on it. But I think that Shake Shack is good. Harlem Shake is good. But I think Harlem Shake is just a standalone. Maybe they got one in Brooklyn, I think. Let me see. I think they do. But I was there like at night and it was late, but it was good. I had a good time. I liked it. Oh, yeah, they do have more than one location. They won't have one in Brooklyn. Yeah. So I went to the one in Harlem, but I did like it. Something different, you know, give you some pickles. I don't think they put lettuce. They don't put lettuce on their regular burger. Fries were solid. I'd say check it out if you're around. There's also a place where I've been to at least four times in the past year. This place called Freddy's. I'm trying to think when they opened. They had to open, I think they opened either this year or last year. And I've been there like four times. And every time I've been there, it's gotten better. One, I thought it's their burgers are just like this, they're smash burgers, but they're steak burgers. And it's mainly, I think they originated in the South. Let me see. I don't know. In the Midwest or the South. It's Freddy's frozen custard. I believe I talked about them before, but they're consistently good. I went there last week when I was coming back from Maryland, and I didn't realize you could get whatever you wanted on the burger. So they normally just serve the burger with like your lettuce, pickles. No, it's just onions, your cheese or whatever you want, your cheese and pickles and mustard. Mustard is fine, but just mustard by itself? No. So when I went back, I said, "Hey, can I get it with like your Thousand Island sauce or whatever? Can I get like lettuce, tomatoes with like, you know, Thousand Island?" And they did that, and it was good. It tasted better, and it's made to order, it's fresh. Consistently good. Reminds me of this place in the Midwest. So this place was based, Freddy's is based in Kansas, in Wichita. So it is the Midwest. Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers is an American fast casual restaurant chain based in Wichita, Kansas. Its menu includes steak burgers, Vienna beef hot dogs, and chicken sandwiches. And the company provides frozen custard with a variety of specialty sundaes and concretes. So that's good. Also, Culver's is another burger place that I've been to a couple times when I was living in Chicago. And that was like a treat. If you were in this certain area of the suburbs, you would go. I went with some friends that I worked with at the world famous Skokie Park District Summer on Broadway Theater Camp. Yeah, so this has been Burger Talk with Chris Lamberth, host of the Mundane Festival podcast. So that was good. I was happy that I got to do it. I was concerned about parking. I was like, oh my God, am I going to find parking? And there was this homeless guy standing in the middle of a free parking space, you know, it's like street parking. And so I circled around and then I go around, I get out. I forget that spot because he left. He sees me get out and he's like, hey, big man, it's my birthday. And I was like, I know it's not your birthday, but I'm going to give you something anyway. And I gave him $5 and I went and got my food. But it was very good. I did enjoy it. My only thing is I should have gotten a milkshake. And I said, man, I could have got... That's something that I always forget to do. I'm so excited about the burgers that I never do the milkshake. I mean, I'm a fat, but I'm not an asshole. I'm not going to just be a monster. But I'm working on myself. I'm going to start Planet Fitness. There's going to be a Planet Fitness that opens near me. So I'm going to join that and try to get my life back on track. So I'm going to do that. Because I said I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. I said it on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. That's what I meant. Was there any more fat boy stuff? I think that's it. So I wanted to get a milkshake, and I said, I'll go to McDonald's. And I went to go to the McDonald's near me, and the drive-thru was, packed. So I just said, fuck it, let me just take my ass home and watch TV. So I did that. I went home. So that's been Fat Boy Corner and Burger Talk. Fun night, fun Friday night, a long Friday. I was up super early, and yeah, it was a good time. I had a good. That made me feel like I was back. That was like another great day, great night, because it was like it used to be. It was reminding me of my grind when I started. Like almost 14 years ago, I guess, 14 years ago, when I started doing comedy, and I realized I'm not going to go home and then go back out. Cause I thought about that. I was like, yeah, this show's at 7:30. You know, I'm going to be home, and then I go home. I'm not going to want to go back out. I said, I'll just go to this movie and then just shoot down into the city and do the show. And that's what I did, and it felt good. It felt good to be doing that and seeing some friends. So it always feels good to, you know, do that stuff. Black Panther. Oh, I'm at the Borgata on the 20th and the 23rd of this month. So if you're in the Atlantic City area, come see me at the Borgata doing some jokes and things. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Tickets are on sale now. They just dropped a new trailer. I'm getting more and more excited about this. I didn't know how I would feel like after we lost Chadwick Boseman, but the closer it gets to this, to it coming out, I'm getting more excited. And I was telling my friends, I was saying I'm more excited about Ironheart than anything else. I think Shuri's going to be Black Panther. And it's possible that Nakia might have a suit too, but I think Shuri's going to be the Black Panther because of her makeup that she has when she's fighting, like in the first one, that's on the suit. So I'm assuming that's her. I think everybody kind of knows that now, and she's at the forefront on the posters and stuff. So that should be cool. But I'm more excited about Ironheart. Because I really like, I read the comics, and I have the comic book version figure that I have in my hand that I need to open. I need to get the stands. I don't know, Patreon folks, would you be down if I unboxed? Would you like if I unboxed? If I did a very amateur versions of unboxings and shit and reviews of the action figures that I have. I think that would be pretty neat. I don't know. Let me know what you think. email me, hit me up and say, yeah, I'd like to see you stumble over unboxing and reviewing action figures. A nerd, like a little nerd thing that only that the 30 of us can do together. Join the Patreon, guys. It's good stuff back there. And then they came out with this new the movie version of Riri Williams in her Iron Man suit and her Iron Heart suit, which is much bigger. I'm really excited about that because they're going to make a series. I guess they finished shooting it already, the first season at least. But I'm overall, I'm excited about the movie. Probably take a half day of work. I got my ticket, so it's in Dolby. I'm sure I'll see it in IMAX again somewhere. I'm noticing, and I'll talk about that later, but super excited about Wakanda Forever. Already got my ticket. I had this, my flu shot on Thursday at Walgreens, and it took 2 hours to get the fucking shot. It was ridiculous. Apparently, so I signed up online and I squared everything away. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I'll get off work and be down there in time to get my shot and then just move on with the rest of my day. No, I waited there. I got there and there was this woman who said, I've been here 45 minutes waiting for my shot. And then there was another woman who was sitting down with her husband, and she was sitting down and she was like, yeah, you know, I've been waiting 45 minutes. I was here. Well, apparently she was waiting a little. My appointment was at 4:30. I got there like at 4:15. And there was just this chaos in the pharmacy. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what's going on? And apparently the pharmacist who normally runs that store is on vacation, and she's on vacation for a month. And the technicians really don't know how to do, they don't know how to administer shots. And apparently it was a lot that they didn't know how to do. So the main pharmacist that was filling in for her was doing just about like, was doing everything. And there was people that there's this one guy that needed like his eye drops, and he had just had surgery, and his wife was going crazy, was wilding of, you know, as she should have been because they were waiting for so long. And it was another guy who was trying to call in the prescription. He had had surgery on his mouth, like got, I guess, some teeth pulled or something. He was hurting. And I was just like, you know what? At this point, I'm just going to wait. And the tech kept coming back. She said, can I see your insurance card? I gave it to her. You know, when I checked in, I said, and I could actually see my name on the paper on like the spreadsheet or whatever they had. And I was like, that's me right there. And I gave her my my insurance card. And she gave it back to me. Then she asked for it again. And I'm sitting out there waiting. She comes back and asks me, she was like, is this your member card? This is my insurance card. This is what I show it to everybody. I got my vaccine at a Walgreens in another town and there was no issue. And she said, oh yeah, because it keeps coming back that you have to, there's a copay of $67. I was like, no, that's not true. And because the flu shot's supposed to be free. And they were trying to put it on me like it was my fault that I was waiting there. At that time, I was waiting there for a little over an hour. And I said, you know what? And I said, yeah, that's my card. I said, I'm not paying for it. I'm getting this shot. And so at that point, I said, you know what? I'm just going to wait it out. I didn't have anything to do. I had a nice steak dinner planned for myself that I was going to make. And I was kind of like anticipating that. But other than that, like, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go through the trouble, go home and then make another appointment online. And then for the possibility of that happening again, I'm not going to do that. I was like, I'm sitting here and I'm going to wait. And I was waiting there. And then this elderly woman came. She had to be maybe in her late 70s, early 80s, an elderly Jewish woman sitting next to this Filipino woman and her husband, and there's an Indian woman and her husband. Her husband just had the eye surgery, and I would say this: nothing brings people together like being angry at someone, being angry at a company. It was just all like, I'm black, the elderly Jewish woman, the Filipino married couple, the Indian married couple, the white guy who needed his pain medicine. And we were just pissed, and we were all, you know, commiserating about everything, kind of shooting the shit and talking, and then looking at people come up to the register. And the elderly lady was just like, you know, she's like looking, she's like, you don't want to come here. She said, turn around. Don't do it. And then there was one guy, I don't know if he was a construction worker or something, but he looked like he worked somewhere, but he kind of had a opioid heroin lean to him. And he looked like he was shaking, and this old lady was just like, look at this guy. It's not going to be good if he has a problem. It's not going to be good. And he's sitting there, and we were just looking at, cause we're maybe 15, 20 feet away, and looking at just look at this guy. And, he's going to be a problem. And then he just, you know, asked for his prescription. And he gets it, pays for it. Thanks. Have a great day. He did. He wasn't. It's the people you expect to pop off. He didn't pop off. He's like, thanks. You have a great day. I don't know. That was funny to me. But it was. I just reserved the fact that it's like nobody died. It's fine. The lady got her. She got her booster shot. The Filipino lady got her booster. And then I got my flu shot. And the head pharmacist was kind of, she was cute. She was beautiful. And everybody else was pissed. It was like, well, it's all right. I mean, you're hot. You didn't know what you were getting into, you know? So it's all right. You know, you're beautiful. And she kind of had like an accent. So I don't know where she was from. But she was just like this, you know, like just a beautiful woman. And she was nice. She was doing her best. She was overwhelmed. And I think it's because they had to get another employee to come back up to come help them in the back, because nobody was really in the store buying anything. Like people go to that pharmacy. The pharmacy keeps that store running. Nobody's really buying anything from that store. And I think that's how most, well, in some areas, this was in Teaneck, New Jersey. So That's serving the community. Like Teaneck's pretty, it's not super big, but it's big enough to where, you know, there's other drugstores in the area, but Walgreens, that you know, people are in there for those prescriptions. I mean, I'm not saying everybody's on opioids, but there's a lot of Americans on drugs, on something, you know. So you need your prescriptions, and people need them. Cause I really felt, cause I was just like, I'm going to get this shot today. They closed at 7. So I got there at 4:15. I probably got my shot at 6:30, and I was just going to get the shot. Cause I didn't have any shows or anything to do. I still made my dinner. It was fucking terrific. I had some leftover turnip greens. I had some steak, and I had a baked potato that was just fantastic. I'm a really good chef, ladies. All these girls on Bumble, they don't know what they're missing out on. They don't know what they're missing. Cook them up a good dinner. It's, you know, the ones that aren't vegan, you know. That's been something, too. I'm going to write about that. I'm going to write about Bumble, talk about it. What else? Yeah. So, and that lady was, and they were closing at 7. So I knew, she was like, you're going to get your shot. The lady said, you're going to get your shot, cause I'm leaving here at 7 regardless. And I did. Got it before she left, and we all got ours, and I believe the nice elderly woman got hers too. She was getting her flu shot. And we had a good it passed the time because we were talking and everything, complaining about it. And I just got to the point where I was just like, I'm getting this shot. And, you know, I said, we're so sorry. I said, nobody died. It's okay. But I felt more concerned about that. My Indian brother getting what he was supposed to get. And the dude, the white guy that had his teeth pulled. Actually, the white guy kind of reminded me of my cousin. My Filipino and black cousin. I guess because of his beard. But anyway, that's me rambling. But I think that was supposed to happen. I was watching season 3 of Rami, which I think is good. And it's the term mock tube. I think it was written. I believe that's what it is. Mock tube. I don't know if I'm mock tube. It is. I guess that is the right correct pronunciation. Maktub is an Arabic word that stands for it is written. I first discovered this word when I was okay. Okay. Sewn or stitched or pasted together. What is written? A writing, a letter, an epistle, a collection of letters. Well, basically, I'll take it as it was written. Like, that was supposed to happen. That was an experience that I was supposed to have. And it was actually a good experience. It wasn't shitty. Would I have liked to have not been inconvenienced? Of course I would. But sometimes that human interaction is missing a lot. And I think that kind of those moments are fleeting. We don't have that much anymore. People don't really talk to each other. We talk at each other. It's like when my mother's talking at me, she's not really talking to me. She is talking at me. And that's stuff that I could talk about in therapy, but we do talk about it in therapy. But yeah, so it was a good moment. It was a good moment that, you know, I did not really mind it, to be honest with you. Kanye, White Lives Matter. I guess this was Fashion Week, and Kanye hung out with Candace Owens in White Lives Matter shirts, and then he went on Tucker Carlson yesterday or whatever a couple days ago. Kanye's just beyond the pale, and I think he's trying to be a contrarian. I didn't really look at all the stuff. It's just really sad at this point. I'm concerned about his, you know, his mental health and all that stuff when he was going through it with Kim Kardashian, but he's just had so much fame and wealth that he believes that he's transcended blackness, and he has not, but he'll use blackness as a weapon when he feels like he's been slighted, when he's not fully accepted into these white spaces. And fashion is one of them. When he tries to, you know, get to that next level in whatever it is he's trying to do, he will use blackness as a crutch or any type of tool. So they not treat me right because I'm black. But for the rest of you niggas, slavery was a choice. The rest of you broke bitches, you broke niggas. You know, that's the rest of that shit applies to you. So I can't fuck with that. And it's really sad. It's really sad because he's so talented. A lot of his music is terrific. I know he's fallen off a lot and everything, but that string of first few records that he did from College Dropout to at least, I mean, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. I mean, amazing. And I would say, you know, I've said this 100 times on the show that, like, my favorite verse of his, I think, and it's not trying to be, I guess because I can relate to those lyrics on Chain Heavy, when he says, burn Hollywood, burn, take too long for niggas to get their turn. And it's something about being in an urn before he gets his due or whatever. Really gets his due. And it's like a, like being a black entertainer. Like, it's like, fuck, that hit hits so hard. Q-Tip produced the beat, I believe. Quali was on the record. Consequence was on the record. But, like, Kanye had that. That was, to me, that's some of the illest shit. But it's just because it's super relatable. But I like a lot of his other stuff, too. But it's just disappointing. And I really didn't delve too deep in it. You know, like, I just like, ah, man, that's fucking, what are you doing? And he's with Candace Owens. And those are the people that white America uses to, they prop those black people up when they go to the dark side. It's funny how going to whiteness is the dark side, trying to appease them or that pursuit of that, that you think that you're going to be just like them. Anyway, that is who, those are the people that these racists use, that the right use to add validity to what they think, like the Herschel Walkers of the world. You know, it's just, it's disappointing. And what's more, it had me so fucked up that I wake up on Friday and I see the artist formerly known as Mos Def with a shirt that says white lives matter, but the V is like blacked out. And I was like, what is he doing? And I see some of my friends liking it, some people that I follow. I was like, what the fuck is this? What is this? And it's not until I threw it in one of the threads, in my text threads, and he was like, "Yeah, why are you sad about this?" Because I put it up and had like a crying emoji and broken heart emojis, and he's like, "Chris, that means it's like the V is blacked out, so it's like white lies matter, like the lies that they tell to us matter, and it's like it's a flip." It's a like a diss to Kanye, or like it's just flipping back what, you know, he was doing. I was like, oh, okay, because I was like, I cannot have my top five MC be a coon. I was like, what is this? And it was early, in my defense, it was early when I saw it, and I woke up and I was like, what the fuck is this? Before I could really get my bearings. And I was like, oh my God, thank God. Oh, thank God. It's like that Denzel meme from Fallen when he holds his chest. It's not as bad as you thought it was. It's not even that bad. And the best description of it was Amanda Seals, friend of the podcast. There's another person that got the Mundane Festival bump. Will she remember that she was on this podcast? Probably not, but she was good on the podcast. And I opened for her once. We had a great time. And she's, I like her. I know she's very controversial, but I still like her. I'm going to play her response to, she did a post on Instagram where she was talking about it and explaining it. So I'm going to open this up and then just let you guys hear it.
A lot of y'all are reacting to this, and I feel like you don't understand what's happening here. Mos Def made shirts that are mocking Kanye's White Lives Matter shirt, where he blacks out the V so that what it says is white lies matter. That's what this is. Okay? This is him satirizing. This is him basically taking the White Lives Matter shirt and, you know how it'll be like, fixed it and fixing it. Blacking out the V to reveal that it's white lies matter. Like the lies that white people are telling about history, about what's happening with the government, about literally the Republican Party, like you name it. That's what's happening here. I'm not sure how people miss that, but white lies matter. I see a lot of...
So that's her take on it. And she's right. And so I'm glad I'm not the only one, because one of my heroes, the great Questlove, was like, he posted on there, he was like, V wasn't dark enough, LOL. I was in my feelings for 20 minutes before someone explained what I was missing. I get / respect the sentiment, but when points are being made on social media, people take like 2 seconds out before they draw own conclusion. A lot of people miss this point, trust me. And so I'm glad I'm not the only one. So that it happens to the best of us. But like, the world is so fucked up right now that I wouldn't put it past people to just like not get it. You know what I mean? Because that did kind of get me. I was like, what the fuck? And it was early when I saw it. And Amanda Seales, the great Amanda Seales, explained it, you know. So I get it. I was just like, no, I can't let it. The world is too bad for one of my all time favorite artists to not. You can't be a coon. You can't be, bro. So I was happy about that. I was really happy about that, man. Oh boy. Oh man. Thank God. What else, you guys? What else? That was a Mos Def scare. Books on Tape, you guys. I know I posted on Instagram about I started and finished Quinta Brunson's book, memoir, or like book of essays called She Memes Well. I really like that. And now I'm kind of just really getting into this. Like, I'm really enjoying, like, I read Jeanette McCurdy's book. I'm glad my mom died. That was the first experience I ever had. And I think I'll continue to do this, especially when it comes to celebrity memoirs or famous people's memoirs and shit. Quintus was good. Viola Davis, Finding Me. Really great. I finished that in 2 days. It was like 8 or 9 hours, something like that. Because I just listened to it like I would listen to a podcast. And she came up really rough. It was so rough that I was just like, when are you going to get to when you make it? To when you start blowing up. To when you start like booking shit. Like, because this is just brutal. And she went through it, man. And I love the fact that she was talking about like black femininity and black women's sexuality, because it verified my thoughts on it when I was doing this podcast at Slate from the great Aisha Harris. I was doing her podcast and we did like this Oscars recap. I don't remember which one it was. I don't know if it was when Moonlight won or not. I'm not 100% sure, but we're talking about it, and Viola Davis presented, or I think it might have been when she won. Might have been when she won for Fences. Whenever it was, she had on this like pink dress, and it like being like that dress being on her skin, she was just looking great. And I was like, I think I said something like, yeah, Viola Davis just was looking fine as hell, or she was just looking really, really good. I whatever it was sanitized for that particular audience. I just said she looked, and they're like, oh, you're sexualizing her. I was like, she looked great. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with like, and that was a genuine thing. It wasn't trying to pander to anybody. It was just me being a man looking at a woman who is attractive and being like, yeah, you look good. You look good tonight. And that was it. You know what I mean? And they kind of like hit my hand on it, you know, like not, you know, is kind of slapped my hand on that shit. But I was like, no, she looked great. I'm not being like lecherous about it, but she did look really good. I want to see which Oscar ceremony that was. Viola Davis Oscars. I believe it was for Fences. It had to be like 2016 or something like that. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at her now. Okay, 2018 Oscars. And she had on this She had on this pink dress. She looked fucking great. Yeah, 2018. You tell me. You look at that and tell me she didn't look good. So I'm glad she talked about it, like how she talked about like getting a role, getting like that role in How to Get Away with Murder, and how some of her friends were saying like, oh, they don't think you're, you know, pretty enough to get that role. And she booked the role and they were still talking shit. And sometimes she said one of her friends told her, it's like, damn, I mean, should you even be saying shit like that? Should you even be like telling somebody that? So I don't know. But I really did like it. And the gems, a lot of the gems, she dropped some like low key. It's not really low key, but it was, she just kind of delivered it matter of factly about how the business is, how show business is, how it is for Black people, how it is for Black women, what her experience at Juilliard was like. And it was awesome, man. It was great. So if you're into memoirs, if you're into audiobooks, I would advise you to check it out. I did like Quinta's. It was good. I think her, there's more to Viola Davis's story, and there's more that will occur. Like this, the book's not closed on Viola Davis, even just because she's had this monumental success. But it was interesting listening to two women's perspectives on the business from their generational, the place where they stand in their generation, like from one generation, this young Black woman coming up with the internet and how she, you know, got famous and everything like that. And then to Viola Davis, who did not have the internet until she was an adult, you know, kind of going through showbiz. So it's a different, because it's always the path to that ascent to fame is different. It's not the same for everybody. It's like a snowflake. It's different for everybody, really. So just pairing those two together is pretty interesting. But I did like it. I recommend them both, but that Viola Davis is, it's heavy. It's heavy, so it gets really, it's great when, there were moments that I teared up listening to her talk and about, you know, her family and stuff. So it was, I was at work in the office. Thank God nobody was there. We had this big company-wide thing on Thursday, and then Friday, there was hardly anybody in the office, and I'm sitting there working and just like, you know, just like tearing up and getting emotional. It's really good. The next one I have, Crying in H Mart, that's supposed to be really good. I think it's Michelle Zollner. Crying. Yeah. Michelle Zollner. I have that I bought from iTunes, but now I'm interested in reading Constance Wu. I want to hear hers now. I had this month long subscription to Audible, and I want to see how that is. I'm kind of interested in seeing that. So we'll see. We'll see. So what else? Was there anything else that I wanted to? I'm definitely into these audiobooks, but I'm still going to read the normal way that people read. Let's see. TV. I talked about Rami. I really liked it. I don't know the way that it ended. It seems like that's the end, but who knows? They could do something else. But I recommend it. I like the first two seasons. It's interesting the fact that Rami's not a great dude, you know, like he's just not a good dude at all. Well, I mean, he's a dude that's done some bad things and he's trying to rectify it. How about that? That's what he's trying to do this season. I do like it. He's trying to find himself. Young man trying to find himself. I like that. Good show. The Man Who Fell to Earth on Showtime. One of my best friend since first grade was like, Chris, you got to watch this. And this is a dude that doesn't like much of anything in pop culture or mainstream television. And I was like, oh, okay, I will check this out. That's all right. Okay. So I did, and it's solid. I liked it. It's neat to see. It stars Chiwetel Ejiofor and Naomi Harris. Chiwetel plays the guy who comes down to Earth and trying to survey it so his people can move to Earth. And there's an agency that's trying to figure some stuff out, and there's some intrigue and plots to bring disaster. That's a line from Pippin. Intrigue, plots to bring disaster. Humor handled by a master. All right, don't get me started, you guys. It's solid. I like it, and it's cool to see like black leads in a sci-fi series, like straight up sci-fi. So I like that. I've just been enjoying that. That's the TV I've been watching, like, the as far as anything, that because Rami just came out last week, I believe, and I finished that up over the course of a couple days. They're only a half hour, 10 episodes or so. And The Man Who Fell to Earth, I watched that over the course of a few days. Solid show. I was surprised. He's like, you got to watch this thing on Showtime. I was like, okay. Because this is a dude that always like reads books and watches these documentaries on YouTube and stuff like that. And all these like art house things. So when he was talking about something that was super, that to him would be super mainstream, I was like, all right. Okay, man. Cool. All right. So that was nice. I dug that. And then music-wise, the only music that I've really listened to this week, the only newish stuff, I mean, Nick Hakim has an album coming out soon, and he's got this album called Kameda coming out in, I don't know when it's coming out, but he released, there's three songs. If you go to like iTunes or wherever, Apple Music, wherever you subscribe to music nowadays, he's got three records on there, and it's cool. I like Nick Hakim. So I remember meeting him in the city, in Manhattan proper. Oh my God, what's the name of that place? Oh man, that's so bad that I don't know the name of this place. It's a concert venue. It's like a small music house, music hall. Oh, that's bad. Music concert. I think I did this another time a couple weeks ago. I see the place. That's so bad. Well, I haven't been to a concert in like 2 or 3 years. It's not Irving Plaza. It's not. Oh my goodness. I hate when I can't remember stuff. It's not Bowery. It's not Terminal 5. The rest of this podcast is going to be about me finding. It's not Chelsea Music Hall. Why can't I scroll down? It's not Rockwood. It's not Drum. Wow, man. It's not any of these places. It's on the Lower East Side, and somebody's probably yelling at me because I don't know what it is. Mercury Lounge. It was, and I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it on this map. But it was Mercury Lounge. It was just like a 2 minute brain fart, however long that was. I think that's it, guys. I think I've oh, one more thing. Suba Agarwal, friend of the podcast. She's got her debut comedy album out, just came out this week, called Dog Show. It's really funny. Suba's super talented. She works really hard. She's funny. And it was really good. I as a preference, as a personal preference in comedy, I like how when people talk about their life, and Suba does that throughout the whole hour and 7 minutes to be exact. And it's really good. I listened to it on the way to work. I did not want to go to the office yesterday. And it made me feel good while I was driving up, listening to her talk about funny shit. So I recommend that wherever you stream, listen, download music and comedy, check it out. Suba Agarwal, Dog Show. Well, I think that's it for me, folks. Today, I want to play some video games. And I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to platinum The Last of Us Part 1 on PlayStation 5 so I could say that I've platinumed both of the games. It's not going to get me a girlfriend, but I will be personally... I will be personally fulfilled by doing it. Wouldn't that be cool? There's got to be a girl, a woman out there that's like, oh my God, you beat The Last of Us? Let's make out. Let's, you know, get some pizza and have a kid one day. Maybe she's out there. I don't know. But I know that I will be personally fulfilled. I had a good time when I platinum the first one. The second one, Last of Us Part 2. So I'm going to do that. And I think I'm going to eventually, because the homie Rod, you know, I was telling you guys about him making me want to play Part 2 again. I want to play it on Grounded. I'll only play it on Grounded if I can do if the cheat or the glitch allows me to have unlimited ammo and unlimited crafting. Because I'm not going through that hard-ass game without that. I've done it before. I beat it without all the weapons and stuff, but I want to have a little fun too. You're just not going to have all these clickers and runners and stalkers like kicking my ass. I want to have some artillery and some ammo while I'm doing what I need to do. You got it? Okay. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy.